Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Course Studio in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob Kelly, Luke, Daniel from Southern Bank Course Studio is in here with us. Daniel Seward, thank you for coming in, Daniel. We appreciate you as always.
Thanks.
All right, opening segment of the show is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, great supporters of ours, and, of course, Southern Miss Athletics, and a great place to take your family for dinner tonight. Golden Eagle Baseball back on the road tonight. Southeastern Louisiana will be talking to their head coach here in about 30 minutes, what he anticipates, but we always have Daniel in on Tuesdays to talk about baseball. But, guys, before we do that, I want to go around the horn. Now, Kelly, Luke, confessed to me he's the only person in America last night that watched the Detroit Tigers over the LSU-Iowa women's basketball game last night. Kelly and 3-0 women from up in the Detroit area, I understand, were locked in.
Well, the Tigers and Mets, it's the beginning of the Major League Baseball season. The Tigers and my team, they're 3-0. They're now 4-0. So
don't get all carried away.
It's early.
Yeah. Don't get all carried away. All right, let's start with you. Look, I watched the LSU-Iowa game last night, and I walked away with this impression. Two teams with really talented players. Angel Reese, an exceptional player. Caitlin Clark on Mars. I mean, Luke, there's nobody even remotely close to her, is there?
I mean, last night it didn't matter who you to put on her. It was she was at a different level, especially. First half, she passed a lot. Second half, she just shot. I mean, six threes in the third quarter, whatever it was. 12 assists, and, yeah, there's a reason. But at the same time, I mean, she made her teammates better, and her teammates around her made big shots in the first half with threes and stuff. But, yeah, it was an exciting game to watch. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, Daniel, you and I are talking before we came into the studio, and we were both talking about she's always got her eyes up the floor.
Yeah.
So you don't know if she's going to shoot one of these monster threes or pass the ball right by you to a teammate.
I mean, she was constantly looking for lanes to give the ball up to teammates. And when she was doing that, LSU, three sets of eyes were on her. So it opened up offensive opportunities for the other players. So really, really impressive.
It was really greatest female basketball player ever, Luke?
I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt.
There's not.
I don't think there's any. Well,
that's pretty lofty. That's a pretty lofty label to put on somebody there. The best ever? I mean, I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying that's.
I just don't see how
she's
anybody.
She's the best guard ever for sure.
I don't see how anybody could be better.
And the way that she shoots, and we were kind of joking that some of those would be quote-unquote five-pointers. Do you think – we never thought that basketball would necessarily go to a three-point shot.
Sure.
So I'm throwing this out there. In the future, do you think that college basketball would ever entertain a four and a five-point shot?
They're gonna have to measure the three-point right before we can put the four-point out there.
It was phenomenal. And the eyes of the country were on that game last night, and I suspect as long as that kid's playing, they're going to get big, big TV audiences.
Sure. And now in the Final Four, you got the new kids on the block, the Iowa Hawkeyes against the people who have been there every year, UConn. It's going to be a great battle between the new kids and the old kids.
No quit. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great, great time for women's basketball. It's really unbelievable. And I think the two kids on the floor last night – the one from LSU and the one and her are primarily the reason. And let me say, I've read a lot about LSU all year and a lot of negative stuff, but, you know, they were sportsmen last night. They were all shaking hands. And when the game was over, I think they were all – I think they were just all kind of like the rest of us. They were just in a state of shock watching that performance from that girl last night.
Oh, they were. Well, you could see it on their faces. Sometimes it was like this just – how is she doing this kind of look on their face? But I think we all had that look last night.
Yeah, no question. All right, well, let's move on to baseball. Daniel, you're the expert in that sport. And Al Holder sent me an interesting reminder of something last night. He pointed out to me that in 2023, at this same time, the baseball team was 16-10. Hmm. And right now, the baseball team is 18-10. They had a good week, Daniel. They showed the kind of team they're capable of being every time they play.
Yeah, you know, it goes back to Tuesday night. Great win against a good Tulane team. That energy, that momentum carried over into Friday or Thursday night. Sorry, and you know, got a run rule on the year, and it was really great to see Matthew Russo, you know, who's had some struggles this year, knock in that final run, kind of get, you know, everybody rushes to him at second base. So it was really good to see. But overall, had a really great weekend.
No question. And the pitching, I think, for the most part, very solid. The one loss was not a result of pitching. The weekend loss was a result of errors.
Yeah, you know, still coming back to haunt us. I think we had three errors Friday night in the game we lost. It's always hard to see a team like us score eight runs and lose.
Yeah.
But it really comes down to our defensive mistakes that we made.
Here's what I would say, one thing about pitching that concerns me a little bit. We do not seem to have a Justin Storm. We don't seem right now to have someone you can bring in the eighth inning and he just closes the door.
Yeah. Well, you know, you want Middleton to be that guy. And I think he still probably is and has that capability. But you know, he's had some issues here a little bit lately. Not really quite sure exactly what that is, but he hasn't been that just shutdown guy like we've really needed. Even going back to some of the submariners we've had in the days, Austin Tubbs, you know, Justin Storms, Nick Sandlin when Sandlin was here.
He was pretty good.
He was okay. Yeah. He's had a great career.
Colin Cargill, too.
Colin Cargill was
Another one of those guys. So we are I think Middleton is that guy, but he's just not quite stepped up into that role just
now,
yet.
The thing about Colin Cargill, though, he was a drama queen. You bring him in, he's going to hit the first two batters, walk the third one, and then strike out the side. You
keep
remember
it
that, don't you?
yeah, I definitely do. But, you know, back when Coach Palmer was coaching, he loved those sidearm guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he constantly looked for them or tried to make a guy a submarine guy, so they were always fun.
Luke, when will we see a quote-unquote closer step up?
Well, I mean, I think they tried to put Colby Allen out there in Saturday's game and do that. I think Middleton is the guy that Oz wants. He's just been a little shaky the last couple times. So I think it'll be whoever he wants to go to in that situation, whether it's English, Allen, or Middleton. The thing with Allen, he's been getting such great extended relief out of him. But I think English could be that guy. And you know, you still hopefully Landon Payne comes back and is maybe a seventh or eighth inning guy. And if that happens, then you maybe free your options up in the seventh and the eighth and make one of those guys more. I think it's okay, though, for he not to be technically identified at this play. It would be nice if they were. At the same time, you put sometimes doubts in the other teams when you have multiple options. So I still think there's guys on this pitching staff that will make a difference in some way down the stretch that we haven't seen that much of right now.
Yeah. And I think what you're going to see as baseball tends to get more scientific, that there are going to be fewer and fewer of these closers, with air quotes, because a lot of these coaches now will play the percentages. Doesn't matter if you know, Goose Gossage with the Yankees. I mean, you knew when Goose came in, it didn't matter whether the guy was right-handed, left-handed, whatever, Goose was going to close the game. But lots of times now, it's not unusual for, maybe it's a little unusual, but certainly not out of the ordinary to where a guy will come up and face, you know, one or two hitters, maybe.
Bob,
then,
you know why he's saying that, don't you?
No, go ahead, let me hear it, Luke.
You know why?
Why?
Because so far in the first week of the season, the Tigers have used three guys in the closer spot.
I see. Okay. Well, but Oz is a scientific guy. He's a matchup guy, you know. And I think as particularly in league games, where he himself have said every one of them is going to be really, really close, should be close. I just don't know that any of these teams are going to have one guy they go to.
Now, I want you to look me in the eyes, and I want you to answer this question honestly. Are you going to tell us sitting here that you never sneaked a peek at that basketball game last night? You and those three ladies from Upper Detroit were actually watching the Tigers the entire night?
I'm sorry, you guys. I did not.
He didn't know whether Foley Lang or what Shelby Miller was going to close it out for him. It was suspended.
Yeah.
Miller, is that really what it is, Center?
Miller did.
The Tigers bullpen has caused you doubt on the Golden Eagles bullpen.
Hey, the Tigers are 4-0. Two games they've won by shutout, and last night's game was in extra innings, and they pitched a shutout.
How many games in the regular season?
I think there's only 158 left.
And you're already excited.
Hey, you're a Tiger fan, man. We're rarely in the hunt, even this early.
Daniel, I want you to think about this through the break. I'm going to give you two names, and I just want you to come back with your reaction. The two names are Dalton McIntyre and Carson Pato. And I want you to tell us what you thought about those two kids over the weekend when we come back.
We'll do it.
Daniel Stewart continues to join us on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be talking Southeastern Louisiana baseball as well. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, still to come, Bobby Barbier, the head baseball coach at Southeastern Louisiana, tonight's opponent of the Golden Eagles. 18-10, good ball club. Should be an exciting game. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of our show, campusbookmart.net on Hardy Street, looking for part-time help. If you're looking for a part-time job, this would be a great time for you to go to Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street and then browse through the greatest selection of Southern Miss apparel on the planet. I want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher. Tune in or just simply tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Daniel Stewart, former baseball pitcher at Southern Miss and a loan officer at Southern Bank Corp, joins us here to analyze the weekend. I told you, I set the table for you. Dalton McIntyre, Carson Pato.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, first thought that comes to mind when you say Dalton McIntyre, man, speed kills. Yeah. That guy can fly. And how many times have we seen him, you know, hit a one through the hole, gets fielded, he beats it out at first. I've seen him lay down a couple bunts and almost beat him out. So when you're that fast from the left-handed side of the plate, you're going to catch a few more hits than somebody else, maybe from the right side. But, I mean, looking at the year, he's batting .381 on the year. Second on the team, Billy Butler, .293. So almost 100 points above the second guy. So really, really impressive what he's doing at the plate and having a great year defensively as well.
And not to mention, a defensive play that probably saved the game late Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely.
Carson Pato.
So Carson is emerging as that leader on the team. Like, I think he's kind of always been right under the radar, you know, not really thought of as having as much pop as Wilkes has had. Of course, we know what Wilkes can do. He can launch them. But Pato's got 6 home runs, leads the team this year in home runs, .275 average. So he's really starting to kind of turn around and be that leader at the plate. Definitely had the assist from the outfield, threw the guy out the other night. So I think he's really becoming a leader on this team.
Best arm on the outfield, I think, far and away.
And I think he's got a major league frame. Now, I don't know about his skill set.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But when you look at him, that's a Major League Baseball frame that he's got.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something you can't coach. You know, it's just something you're blessed with or, you know, or not. But the great thing about Dalton McIntyre is there's a great story for all the little kids on their little league teams that go up to the belly buttons of all their teammates, right?
Right.
Dalton McIntyre should carry the torch for all those kids. All right,
Dalton McIntyre, how tall do you think he is, Kelly?
He doesn't look like he's but about 5'8", maybe.
He is 6'3". He is listed as 6'3", 175.
Now, listed.
I had to look it up myself because I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, he probably weighs 160. He's listed at 6'3", 175.
I think it's 6'3", he's pushing 6'3". It, too, don't
yeah.
you think?
On one of those stretchers on the pit and the pendulum, I don't think he's 6'3".
Yeah.
You know.
But, he is making the most of what he's got.
One of the other deep stats on him is he's only walked 8 times, okay? But his on-base percentage is 430, which is, I think, among the starters, he's tied with Butler, I think, to the most. So that just shows you, you know, the hitting, beating out, runs or beating out throws. The fact that he has walked less than 10 times halfway through the season and his on-base percentage is 430.
Well, you know who has the highest on-base percentage? Matthew Russo.
Really?
Matthew, 442.
Really?
He's walked a lot this year.
Yeah, he's played, he's had one-third the bats of McIntyre. What I meant was among the guys usually in the lineup. And to your point, though, Russo's, even though it is the highest, it's still not very much above the guy who goes out and plays every day.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
The fact that he's done that. And Russo's walked – only one less time than McIntyre. McIntyre's had 3 times the at-bats.
He has.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, we're about halfway through the season, so do you have to change your coaching philosophy as you approach midweek games, or do you anticipate, we're going to see Oz pitch a lot of guys tonight?
Yeah, I think we're going to continue to do what we've been doing. I don't see any reason to change right now. I still think you need to get those guys that haven't pitched a lot on the weekends. You've got to get them in the game on these midweek games. And where we sit right now, I think we're at a good spot. And I think it's just still continuing to get the pitching staff some innings under their belt and kind of just get prepared for the second half of the year.
When you were talking about consistency, though, on the staff, when I look, I'll get you guys to comment on this, the guy that has been most consistent to me has not been a reliever. But it's been Billy Oldham.
I agree completely.
100%.
Now, Nico Mazza obviously is your GOAT, right? I mean, he's your number one guy. But as far as consistent numbers, not wavering much either way, Oldham has been the man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could almost predict every week he's going to throw into the sixth inning. He's going to throw about 95 pitches. He's going to have 6 strikeouts, and he's going to walk a person and give up 3 hits.
Yeah.
You know, that's been his stat line just about this whole year. So we really need him to continue doing that.
Yeah, We'll take it. Absolutely.
He can throw a lot of junky stuff, but then he can blow a fastball by a batter, too. I think a really talented.
That good off-speed
stuff. Is he a major
stuff.
League Makes caliber it, pitcher, guys? Is he a professional baseball caliber pitcher?
He's close. Nowadays, I think you need these starters throwing probably 93 to 95 to really be what you call major league caliber. But, you refine some of your off-speed pitches a little bit, get your arm strength up a little bit. He's got the command for it. I think he definitely does.
And it just drives me nuts that they're so hung up on height. And I get the downward angle, when a guy's 6'6", 6'7". But, look, either you can get people out or you can't.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you're 5'8". Or 6'8". If you get guys out, what difference does it make?
Look at Tanner Hall. Tanner's not a super tall guy. I mean, I think he's around 6 feet, 6'1", but extremely good changeup. That makes Tanner Hall great.
Kelly, before we get this coach on the air, kind of give people that listen to the show an indication of what sort of program Southeastern Louisiana baseball is.
Well, Matt Reiser was there for years and is now at Memphis, left to go to Memphis. And Bobby Barbier was in the Southland Conference already at Northwestern State, where he took the Demons to a regional a couple years ago up in Oregon, in Oregon State. Bobby Barbier was not only an All-American, he was an academic. All American. So he's a real cerebral baseball guy, likes skill people, likes the punch and Judy guys, the single and doubles hitters, the switch hitters, guys hit either. So you're not going to see a team that's going to put a lot of home runs in play because, you know, he says if guys hit home runs, when they're not hitting home runs, what do?
Striking out.
They strike out. And he said, I can't move people, you know, when you're striking people out. So you're going to see, you know, potentially some small ball, but guys that will put the ball in play and put pressure on this defense.
And can compete with Southern Miss.
Well, they're 18-10, and they've been playing. They've been playing a lot of the same teams.
Beat Tulane, lost by one to LSU. Beat number 11 East Carolina. Beat Cal State Fullerton. Won a series at UAB. Lost to South Alabama. But I mean, they've been playing. When you look at their RPI, they've only played three games in a quad one. 11 of their wins are quad four wins at the same time. Those games against LSU and then Tulane, but the one that raised the eyebrows to me was the win against East Carolina.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And Daniel, you got to play this tough game. I don't think there's been an easy game yet.
No.
And then you go to South Owl for three games, and Lord knows we all know how South Alabama can break your heart.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years ago when I played, it was the same way. I mean, it didn't matter how good of a season we were having, South Alabama always seemed to wreck it somehow, you know.
So what is that, Daniel? I mean, what is the jinx?
Well, take a team like Southeastern Louisiana. Take a team, you know, they're in that same kind of category to me as a South Owl, even though South Owl is now in our conference. These guys aren't your, you know, highly recruited guys that were being recruited by all the SEC schools. These are the blue-collar, hard-working, gritty guys. And you know they're going to get after you every single game you play. And you've got to be able to match that or they're going to beat you.
And here's what here's what they'll even tell you. They'll say, I would be at LSU if I were 6'3 or 6'4. But I'm only 5'9 or 5'10.
Yeah.
So I'm at Southeastern. That's exactly the way they build themselves. I'm good enough to play at LSU. I'm just not big enough.
Mm-hmm. All right, Daniel, minute left. What do you expect tonight?
I'm a fan. Eagles are going to win. But I do think it's going to be a hard-fought game. You know, we're going to their place, and their home crowd is going to be that typical Louisiana crowd, fun to play in front of. Mm-hmm. I do think we're going to see a lot of pitchers tonight, but I'm hoping that the bats will stay alive and, you know, we'll put some more runs up on the board.
You know, a couple of years ago, the year that Ole Miss actually won the World Series, I remember watching them one night at Southeastern Louisiana. They got 10 runs down there during the week. So –
yeah.
This is not going to be easy, Center.
The game is at 6, but the beer garden in right field opens at 5.
Why?
For
in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Do they drink beer at baseball games?
Yeah, they have
Louisiana?
A beer garden in right field. Or so I'm told.
So you're told?
Yeah.
All right, Daniel. And your weekend prediction, South Owl, Southern Miss.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to be optimistic here. I'm going to say we drop one, but we come out of there winning the series 2-1.
And isn't that really all that matters? Just keep,
yes, let's
keep
just win
winning
it.
Your conference series and don't worry about that.
There's a ton of parity in Sunbelt this year.
No question. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from the man that'll be taking on the Golden Eagles tonight. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
And don't forget, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is Genesis of Hattiesburg. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today and coming very soon. We hope to be there as part of the grand opening, the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. 4th Street Bar and Grill, right in the shadow of the Rock, sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. It's a great place to have lunch, and it'd be a great place to catch the ball game tonight at 6:00. I'll guarantee you it will be on TV, and you get yourself something good to eat and cold to drink and be around your Southern Miss bros tonight at 4th Street Bar and Grill.
In a newly resurfaced parking lot. Beautiful.
Yeah, but actually you're going to eat inside.
You walk across
the newly resurfaced parking lot.
But it's nice.
Try to keep these things straight.
That parking lot is center? Super nice now.
Bobby Barbier is the head coach of Southeastern Louisiana, and we're happy to have him on the Eagle Hour. And, Coach, we were kind of picking at Coach Oz yesterday and asked him, after we looked at your team's record, if he could have found an easy game to play all year, to which he replied no, and we're not expecting it to be easy tonight down at your place, Coach.
We don't intend to make it easy on them, that's for sure. No, but it's glad to have those guys coming down. We've actually, I think both of us are in a spot, you know, in our location where these midweek games, we're very fortunate to have a lot of teams that are close enough to play these, you know, within a couple hours, but probably unfortunate. They're all good teams, you know. We got South Owl and you guys and Tulane and Lafayette and had a bunch of good teams in the midweek, which is good for our club. It'll make us tougher, hopefully.
No question. You know, and your team is in that group. And you know, when you think about that, when you look at Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, it is astonishing how many not only Division I baseball teams there are, Coach, but high level Division I baseball teams in a relatively compacted area.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that people care about baseball in this part of the world, you know. And the high school coaches are good. You know, they grew up wanting, or they came out of college and wanting to coach baseball, and obviously had a good experience, and that leads to them impacting, you know, young people that want to do the same thing. And you know, the travel organizations have been really good coming from this neck of the woods. So when they grow up and they love it and they want to do it, it's normally going to lead to a pretty good product.
Coach Barbier, you were an academic All-American at Northwestern State. You took the Demons to a regional a couple of years ago up in Oregon. But yet some people would, with all due respect, consider the move from Northwestern to Southeastern, considering they're both in the same league, a lateral move. But that's not the way you really saw this at all, and it just came down to resources. Could you kind of fill in some blanks for us on that?
Sure. I mean, I think there's a whole lot of things that came into play there. You know, when I first talked to our athletic director here, it was I really didn't have a whole lot of interest, to be honest. And then he just kind of was persistent about it, and you know, kind of showed me all the stuff that they had here, you know, and all the resources that we were given, and the fact that we have the 3 paid coaches and got a brand new building with a locker room and clubhouse and coaches' offices, and we've got a great facility that, you know, we'll have 1,500 here tonight easy, you know, which we do. And it'll help that Southern Miss is here. We've had it most Tuesday nights, you know. So it's been a really good move for us. I think the quality of baseball down here is really good. It allows us to – our recruiting has been good. And to top it all off, my family's 45 minutes away, and my daughter's never been in a place where she's grown up around her grandparents. So that helped in a decision-making a little bit also.
So what can Southern Miss fans expect mechanically, you know, from your team tonight?
Well, I mean, I hope they're going to see a team that plays really hard. You know, we'll probably do like them. We'll probably throw 3, 4, 5 arms, you know, kind of in the midweek way. You know, I mean, we're a team that plays hard, that'll fight to the end. You know, I think we've got 6 or 7 comeback wins under our belt. And, you know, are we perfect? We're not, but we can – you know, we got a bunch of guys that do things the right way and hopefully get rewarded for doing that.
Luke, jumping here with Coach Barbier.
Coach, let's talk about two of your hitters, Thomas and Salvaggio. If I mispronounce his name, I apologize. Both of those guys hitting over 1,000 OPS, and both of them have 5 home runs on the year. And you mentioned to us, you know, during the break that you're pleased with some of the power in this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we want to – that's one thing that's a little different from – I would say, you know, previous coach here really liked to run bases and steal bases, which is a one way to do it. And I'd rather go the other way and hit doubles and homers. And not to say we're going to do it all the time, but that's kind of a style we like to play. And Thomas and TJ have been just rock solid for us all year long. I mean, TJ, we kind of didn't know what we were going to get. He was hurt most of the fall, so it was. And that to be able to play a premium position like shortstop and then, you know, have those offensive numbers is pretty special. And Shea's been in this league a while, and Shea's you know, he's just a veteran hitter. You know, if you dump a breaking ball in there with, you know, like with no oh, and he can hit it. You know, he doesn't take it like 90% of amateur hitters do, and he can fight you with two strikes to get a good pitch to hit. And he's the kind of the epitome of a guy that kind of drives it for you here there in the middle of the lineup.
Both those guys batting 363 and 348, respectively. You're throwing, according to the game notes, Aiden Vosburgh. But like you mentioned, may see several arms from your ball club tonight. And we asked Oz about that. And how has that changed somewhat, the midweek approach to pitching? Or has it changed where, you know, some teams have a midweek starter or other guys, other teams approach, they get their bullpens in on a game like this?
Well, I think in a perfect world, you got four starters, and you kind of let it go. But like last year at Northwestern, we had four starters. Like the guy that throws on Friday night for them now was our fourth starter last year. And he's good. He's really good. But, you know, you get in the conference play, and for schools our size, we're a little different than Southern Miss. We got a hard time getting that large in the current state of college baseball. So when you get in the conference play and, you know, one of your best arms is throwing six innings every Tuesday, you kind of want to get them in there, and you know, when you're playing for a championship, you know, and so that's kind of the deal. That's tough. I mean, I would love to have four starters and just ride them out all year long, but it gets a little difficult when you want to use some of those guys. So we'd like to get other guys work. We'd like to get our guys that maybe only threw one in on the weekend, you know, some work too. A weekend bullpen. So it's kind of a deal where the teams that have more of a chance to get an at-large, those guys probably are a little more incentivized to have four starters because, you know, they can't drop an RPI game, you know, or a game that might hurt their RPI, whatever way you want to look at it. So, but it's there's definitely different ideas of how to do that.
Coach, we're pretty close to the baseball program here, and in all honesty, we're very biased. You know, we're all big fans. I'm really curious, and I'd like for you to tell me and our listeners, what is the perception of Southern Miss baseball these days when say, the Golden Eagles come to your place on a Tuesday night? What do you find the perception of the program here to be?
Well, it's kind of my first time, you know, getting them to one of my teams on a Tuesday coming here. But obviously, I played against them a bunch. We played a couple weekends at Northwestern over there. And when I was at University of Alabama, we'd go down there and play once a year. And I would think that Southern Miss and East Carolina and ULL, like I don't think you guys deserve to be called mid majors. You take that for what it's worth, but I think that's something that here we can kind of aspire to be. You know, to get those to where you're getting 3,000 fans and 3,500, however many you guys get, you know, on a nightly basis, where you compete in the host regionals and you know, do those things. I mean, we played at East Carolina this year. And man, I thought it was eerily similar, you know, to when we go down and play at Southern Miss from Tuscaloosa, and the crowds in it all the time. You know, it's a place where kids want to go, and it's a good location. So, no, I think you guys, obviously Coach Berry was great. I think you guys hit a home run with Oz. Man, I love Oz. I think he does a really, really good job, and I'm friends with Creel and a lot of guys over there. And I think they'll probably keep that thing rolling. I just hope it's not tonight. You know, maybe they can keep it rolling. Start back again on Friday.
Coach B, real quick, I don't know how much time we have left, but the fact that your athletic director is a baseball guy, J.R. Teagues, a lot of NCAA Division I, their ADs are football guys. Your AD is a baseball guy. What has that meant?
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the main reasons I'm here. You know, I mean, I think it's he has been an unbelievable resource. I mean, not only does he give us what we need, but just to bounce ideas off of and talk to, he gets it, you know. And they're, you know, being around this thing a little bit, like you said, a lot of guys, they're really focused on the money makers, you know, and that's fine. That's probably how I'd be too. But it's really nice to have a guy that's really invested in the baseball program.
Hey, real quick, Coach, before we let you go, any weather threat around the ball game tonight?
Man, it shows a little possible stray storm. I mean, it's South Louisiana. I guess you never know, but it's, you know, I think at one point we're up to 35% later on in the night. Nothing that I think we need to move anything about, but we might have a little storm here or there.
Coach, great pleasure to have you on the show, sir. We're grateful to you for your time, and we wish you and your team the best of luck the rest of the year.
You got it, guys.
Coach Bobby Barbier, head baseball coach, Southeastern Louisiana. First year there, Kelly?
First year. And how many head coaches are going to, on game day, take time out of their schedule
to join us
on the Eagle Hour? Visiting coaches, or I mean opposing coaches.
True. And of the sports, baseball coaches, with the exception of Will Hall, are always the easiest to deal with. We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on a Tuesday brought to you by DBAT on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. Softball, baseball instruction, pro shop. It's all there at DBAT. Lady Eagle Golf finishing up in Monroe. Lady Eagles will finish as a team in fourth place behind ULM, Arkansas State, Sam Houston State. Lady Eagles finishing in the top third, 4 out of 12 teams. Momoko Ando finishing tied for 15th overall. Rajani Navet after a 5-under, second lowest round in school history she shot yesterday. So two Lady Eagles finish in the top 20. Congratulations to them. Softball will host Nichols tomorrow night. So if you want to see some softball, go check out the Lady Eagles tomorrow night. And then looking forward to this game tonight. This is the 129th meeting of Southeastern Louisiana and Southern Miss. Only Tulane, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State have played the Golden Eagles in more contests. Cole Boswell starting tonight. Right-hander Aiden Vosburgh Jr., 0-2 with a 6.11 ERA. He's a righty. He will face the Golden Eagle lineup tonight. And as we mentioned, you know, a little earlier, Southeastern's played several really good teams this year. Their RPI doesn't reflect it. They're 137th in the RPI, but a good record overall with some good wins, 18-10 overall. They are 3-3 in the Southland.
And this is a game that I would suspect, you guys, that a lot of Eagle fans will make, you know, because the Eagles are out of town the next two weekends. So if you're going to watch any baseball, this is the one. And what, Hammond's, 2 hours?
Yeah, maybe an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half.
Oh, it's that close.
Depending on how fast you go.
Okay, yeah. So I would suspect that there'll be a lot of folks, you know, go down there.
We turn around, they come up here, I think, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
So we'll get to see them again next week.
That's a little unusual, too.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
It's usually spread out. Weeks to have the same teams play.
Meanwhile, the football team was out on the gridiron this morning, you guys, having spirited workouts. There was some hitting and flying going on this morning. We'll be talking a little bit later on this week to a couple of the guys, including newcomer Zach Conti on the offensive line, C-O-N-T-I. He's a grad transfer from Eastern Michigan. Big, big kid. And I said I was asking him in the interview, I said, so what is it about your skill set that you thought that Coach Hall and them would like? And he said, well, I'm pretty good.
He was also a little concerned about the summer weather, I think.
Yes. After the interview was over, he goes, hey, really, how is it really that bad in the sun? He said, the guys are telling like your shoes melt and stuff. It gets so hot.
Occasionally.
Yeah. So I don't know if it gets quite that, but it's not going to be any fun. He goes, I didn't get here till late September. So the weather's been beautiful, and I've been bragging to everybody in Michigan how nice it is here. I said three words.
Tell them to buckle
June,
up.
June, July, August. Yeah.
September's pretty damn hot.
Yeah, that yeah, yeah it is. Yeah. But I think in September the humidity kind of at least, you know, goes by the wayside. But man, he couldn't be happier. He said, this is such a great place. And he said, when you talk about Mississippi to other people, they all want to trash the state of Mississippi.
Never been here.
Never been here.
Exactly. Yet. Exactly. And he says, I've been here. The people could not be nicer. Mm-hmm. They could not be more hospitable. And I told him, I said, well, Zach, you're 6'7", 340 pounds. I would be pretty hospitable. Whatever you wanted, right?
Yeah. So. You ever notice, too, those guys from up north, another thing they notice about when they get in the south? The co-eds.
How beautiful the women are.
Just more beautiful than the ones up north. I hate to say that.
Not as weathered and...
Well, now you said weathered. I didn't say anything about them being weathered.
You can interpret that any way you want. But
hey, little personal moment here for us at Super Talk. Congratulations to our buddy in the Laurel studio, Ben Winpickler, and his wife Shelby. Earlier today, they welcomed Abbott Monroe Winpickler. Call him Baby Abe. So the baby boy has arrived, and that's why Ben's not in the studio with us today. So a brand new baby boy for our buddy Ben Winpickler. Congratulations.
Actually, Ben's not supposed to be in the studio with you every day. Ben's supposed to be selling advertising.
Well, I mean, he's not in his office for today and the next couple of days.
Yeah,
so.
Congratulations to Ben. We're happy for them.
So they have a little girl and a little boy now.
Yeah.
Right? Emmy and Abe. That's right.
That's perfect.
All right. And they will give Christmas presents to both of those children, Kelly.
Kelly, they will. That's a little inside thing here.
And they want their children with them at Christmas.
Yeah, that he didn't give his grandchildren Christmas presents.
No, our listeners know that. It's just
the reason I don't is because they already had everything under the sun. So I told my kids what I will do is put some money away for their college.
They don't want to hear that.
Well, no, but when it gets to be college time, I will remind them. Mm-hmm. And they go, yeah, but it doesn't do me any good now because Uncle Joe Biden already forgave.
Right. I bet John Carter watched Iowa-LSU last night. I bet he did do
that. Yeah, Kelly was the only person in the country other than three widow women in North Detroit that didn't.
See, those women from Detroit, Bob, you better be careful who you're taking on the radio.
Weathered.
Yeah, they're weathered.
The weathered women in Detroit. Daniel, thanks, man. We appreciate you being here with us every Tuesday.
Thank y'all. Enjoy
We'll look forward to talking to you about four Golden Eagle wins next Tuesday.
Let's do it.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. The guys will have Travis Creel and some football interviews. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
On slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the world of mission.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.